Coming up next is an excerpt from the movie Jesus of Nazareth.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what is right, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted in the cause of right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people abuse you and persecute you and speak all kinds of calumny against you for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven, as it was for the prophets persecuted before you.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman.
Harry Truman became president after Roosevelt's unexpected death in April 1945. Here, a collection of Truman's Give 'em Hell, Harry speeches on the presidential campaign trail in 1948.
Republicans, you know, are expected to nominate a candidate for president. They're having a lot of trouble deciding on just who that candidate for president will be and for just what he stands. I want to say to you that for the next 4 years there'll be a Democrat in the White House and you're looking at him.
My duty as president requires that I use every means within my power to get the laws the people need on matters of such importance and urgency. I am therefore calling this Congress back into session on the 26th of July. Now, my friends, if there's any reality behind that Republican platform, we ought to get some action out of the short session of the 80th Congress. They could do this job in 15 days if they want to do it. They'll still have time to go out and run for office.
Senator Barkley and I will win this election and make these Republicans like it. Don't you forget that.
The decisive battle has arrived. The people are going to have to choose one side or the other. The Democratic Party and I have nothing to conceal. We are proud of our record.
All right, I'm doing it.
I had my sandwich and glass of buttermilk and went to bed at 6:30. And along about 12 o'clock, I happened to wake up for some reason, and the radio was turned on the National Broadcasting Company. And Mr. Kelton Barn was saying, "While the president is a million votes ahead in the popular vote, we have yet to hear, and we are very sure that when the country vote comes in, Mr. Truman will be defeated by an overwhelming majority." And I went back to bed and went to sleep. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, the chief of the Secret Service came in and said, "Mr. President, I think you better get up and listen to the broadcast. We've been listening all night." And I said, "All right." And I turned the darn thing on, and there was Mr. Kelton Barn again. And then Mr. Harkness came on and analyzed the situation. I called the Secret Service men, and I said, "We better go back to Kansas City. Looks as if I'm elected." Along about 10 o'clock, I got a telegram which said that the the election was over and that I should be congratulated on the fact that I had won the election. And apparently it was too bad, but it happened.
Gun nuts boasting they can open fire, pumping rounds of red-hot lead, off for sport, with their rifles they go, shooting bunnies in the head. Yeah! Everybody knows there's Uzis in the Bill of Rights. We machine gun owners have our grounds. We show no fear hunting squirrel or deer. We hose them with 10,000 rounds. You've seen our ads, and they are true. They say that guns don't shoot nobody, gun nuts do. We think a gun's a sign of strength. There's lots of men comparing pistols and their length. And so we're offering this good advice. Oppose the NRA and you're through. You understand? Try that and we'll show many times, many ways, we mean business, and we got the big guns, yeah, we do. Ho, 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 take that, Rudolph.
Up next, Harold Ickes dedicates the Hoover Dam. Harold Ickes was the Secretary of Interior, and this speech was recorded on September 30th, 1935. The Hoover Dam, once known as Boulder Dam, is a concrete dam in the Black Canyon of Colorado River between the states of Arizona and Nevada.
No better example of understanding cooperation between man and nature can be found anywhere than this imagination-stirring project that, in grandeur of conception and in skill and speed of execution, ranks as one of the greatest engineering undertakings in the history of the world. And what more characteristic and appropriate name could be chosen for this monumental enterprise than the one with which it has been christened? As the eye encompasses the majesty of this work and comprehends the bold and rugged setting chosen for the taming of the waters of the turbulent Colorado, the mind appreciates that this setting and this accomplishment of what at first must have been regarded as a conception of a fevered imagination would not worthily and fittingly be named by any less bold and striking designation than that of Boulder Dam. I venture to hope that this dam, with its great storage of health and wealth and happiness for thousands of people, will stand as a definite opening of a new era with respect to the natural resources of America. An era of conservation, which means the prudent use of all our natural resources for the greatest good of the greatest number of our people. An era that will recognize the principle that the riches of forest and mine and water were not bestowed by God to be ruthlessly exploited in order to enhance the wealth of a small group of rugged individualists, but were beneficently given to us as endowment to be carefully used for the benefit of all the people. On no other theory would the federal government be justified in so generously opening the doors of its treasure house for the building of this and other similar projects that will turn large sections of this breathtaking western country into rich homesteads, where a happy and contented people will find it possible to live those comfortable and worthwhile lives that we covet for every man, woman, and child in these United States.
The Army commander spoke to the media. He said, "This is a nation of laws. We do not target civilians, and we only bomb with cause." And he said as he looked into the camera with a cold, bone-chilling stare, "As for the village of Kamado, nothing happened there. In the village where nothing happened, Most people had risen from bed. Women were preparing to cook and make sure every mouth would be fed. Just before the beginning of Ramadan, water was set out to boil. Little fires were heating tin kettles upon the dry Afghan soil. In the village where nothing happened, children played in the street. Men were bending in prayer, some with no shoes on their feet. It was another day like so many that had gone down before, and nobody told Kamado just what lay in store. Would be changed forever by an American B-52. The bombs fell all around them, so many a deafening blast. And the people of Kamado learned that life can end so fast. In the village where nothing happened, the houses collapsed in the morn. Not one terrorist died there, but maybe some were born. In the village of Kamado, there are no underground caves. There's just rubble and dust and craters and 115 new graves.
Color of the day is orange, the terror risk is high. They never tell us why, just be prepared. We're never told just how or when or who might be our foe. And everyone I know is really scared. But they finally have a tip for you and me. The solution to surviving World War III. All you need is duct tape, and everything's gonna be alright. Get saran wrap from the drawer and seal your windows tight. Don't you worry about anthrax, dirty bombs, smallpox, radon. When all is said and done, the war on terrorism's gonna be won with duct tape. My 401k's in the tank, my kid's school's falling down, and all these clowns can talk about is war. One or two things here to do, like jobs for you and me. Homeland security means so much more. But when the questions get a little tough, they have an answer just obtuse enough. All you need is duct tape to hold your tattered life intact. Everyone ducked and covered. It'll save you, that's a fact. Don't you worry about education, healthcare, retirement, dirty air. Everything's okay. Trust us, they all say, and get duct tape. Well, I've used it on my car, and I fixed my garden hose. I've removed a wart or two, gotten lint right off my clothes. It's worked on almost everything I've tried to use it for. So I guess it stands to reason it'll work just great for war. Talk about duct tape. every time I turn on my radio, my TV, everything I hear and see just makes me wonder. These guys who'll never face a risk, so quick to draw the sword, in every deed and word they reel and blunder. So when you're tired of their pontification, there's one surefire fix for our nation. All you need is duct tape and just plaster it across their lips. All these armchair warriors shooting from their hips. When you had enough Fox News, Falwell, Limbaugh, George Will, spreading lies and fears, just cover up your ears with duct tape. And when you had enough W, Ashcroft, Rumsfeld, spouting off till it makes you sick, just tell them where they can stick their duct tape.
I got a letter from old George W. It said, son, I hate to trouble you, but this war of mine is going bad. It's time for me to roll those dice. I know you already been there twice, but I am sending you back to Baghdad. George W. told the nation, this is not an escalation, this is just a surge toward victory. Just to win my little war, I'm sending 20,000 more to help me save Iraq from Iraqis. And so I made it to Iraq in time for one more sneak attack. Into my old battalion I was sent. We'd drive around in our Humvees, listening to the Black Eyed Peas and speaking fondly of our president. George W. told the nation, this is not an escalation, this is just a surge toward victory. Just to win my little war, I'm sending 20,000 more to help me save Iraq from Iraqis. Celebrities all come to see us, grateful they don't have to be us. Politicians play their best face card. Where is Bubba? Where's our leader? Where's our favorite lip reader? AWOL from the Texas National Guard. George W. told the nation, this is not an escalation, this is just a surge toward victory. Just to win my little war, I'm sending 20,000 more to help me save Iraq from Iraqis. If you're hunkered in Fallujah, wondering who it was who screwed you, wondering what became of shock and awe, you are feeling semi-certain it has to do with Halliburton, Dick Cheney's, why you drew that fatal straw. But George W. told the nation, this is not an escalation, this is just a surge toward victory. Just to win my little war, I'm sending 20,000 more to help me save Iraq from Iraqis.
First you told us only through you could we know God, and if we dared to question, he wouldn't spare the rod. For you we worked the soil, for you we dug the moors, for you we shed our blood and fought so many pointless wars. And now you try to tell us there's nothing we can do. You say the world around us belongs fairly to the few, but about 6 billion people no doubt will agree this world is our home, not your property. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who would enclose the land all around the earth, our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who've sacrificed the public good for your private gain. With our sweat we built the railroads, built cities on these shores. But because you own the money, you say that it's all yours. We laid the phone lines and the pipelines, and then right before our eyes, you say these things are taxes paid for. You now will privatize. Privatize the hospitals, privatize the schools, privatize the prisons for all those who break your rules. And preparing for the day when all the wells run dry, you say you own the very rain that falls down from the sky. But it's the commons, our right of birth. And you who'd own the water all around the earth, our future is your downfall when they cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. claim to own the harvest with your Terminator seeds. You claim to own the genomes of every animal that breeds. You claim to own our culture and the music that we play. And with each song that we download to your coffers we must pay. You'd even own my name and you'd say it's for the best. Maybe you'll let us on your radio if our songs can pass your test. You own country, you own Western, you say you've given us a choice. You may own the airwaves, but you'll never own my voice. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who'd own the music all around the earth. Our future is your downfall when you cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who would own everything all around the earth. Our future is your downfall when you cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain.
Hear great speeches and interviews at Access Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.